I'm Aaron Schachter, and this is The World. Imagine the history of the Soviet Union from the standpoint of the stomach. From the starving peasants who helped topple the Tsar in 1917 to grain requisitioning and ration cards on to Soviet caviar and champagne. It's all there and more in a new book called Mastering the Art of Soviet Cooking. Reporter Bridget McCarthy caught up with the author in New York City.
Anya von Bremzen has always had a complicated relationship with food. She says it's just part of her heritage. She was born in Moscow in 1963.
I grew up in an apartment where 18 families shared one kitchen.
Her new book, Mastering the Art of Soviet Cooking, is not a cookbook. It's both a family memoir and a survey of Soviet history from the kitchen table. She says food was enormously important throughout the Soviet Union's tumultuous history.
It was the most essential issue from the revolution until the very end.
Both politically and personally. Because the Soviet state didn't just dictate where its 300 million citizens worked and lived, but also what they put in their mouths, which most of the time wasn't much. Von Bremzen's mother, Larissa, is 79, and she says food was always on her mind.
Any period of my Soviet life, it was lack of food, it was shortage of food, it was difficult to buy, it was difficult to find it. Food became kind of obsession for most Russians.
Larissa remembers her own mother's heroic efforts to feed her family during the hungry years of the Second World War.
Also, we always wanted something sweet. It was really a terrible thing for children not to have anything sweet.
For Larissa, a slice of black bread sprinkled with a few granules of sugar was a heavenly treat. As an adult, Larissa loved to cook. She had grand ambitions, but not much to work with in the way of ingredients. So she and her young daughter, Anya, feasted vicariously, devouring descriptions of freshly salted caviar, flaky fish pies, and racks of lamb in the stories of Gogol and Chekhov.
And all this, you know, orgiastic, you know, food porn from 19th century Russian literature. And we just imagined what this stuff would taste like. We had absolutely no idea. Or my mom would read Proust or Hemingway. And we would just go to sleep discussing, well, what do you think a Madeleine really is? Is it kind of like a jam-filled pierogi? Or is it... We had absolutely zero idea what pizza was.
When Anya was almost 11, she and her mother immigrated to the land of plenty. This was in 1974. They were among the first wave of Soviet Jews allowed to emigrate. They ended up in Philadelphia.
And I'll never forget our first trip to the Pathmark. It was as huge as Red Square and just packed with absolutely everything. And my mother would go swooning, oh, Cheerios, Velveeta. She was so excited. And I felt like it was a tomb of all my desires and dreams about the West. Because once you saw the abundance, who cared? It lost its value.
Von Bremzen realized that imagining food was a lot more thrilling than having it. Besides, she didn't even like American food. She wanted Moscow bread, not Wonder Bread. She found Pop-Tarts and peanut butter revolting. She had a hard time adjusting. So she escaped into music. She graduated from Juilliard with hopes of becoming a concert pianist. But then, in her mid-20s, she developed a ganglion cyst on her wrist and had to stop playing for a while. To earn money, she translated a cookbook from Italian, a language she'd learned during a brief sojourn in Rome.
And here I was, you know, thinking about, you know, Allegro con brio and Andante spianato and, you know, writing about spinach and, you know, pesto. And then I thought, oh, this is interesting, you know, cookbooks.
By the time she'd finished, the lump on her wrist was nearly gone. But so was her passion for piano. Writing Italian recipes had unexpectedly reawakened her fascination with food.
Food was really deep, deep, deep in my psyche, and it represented so much more than just yum, yum, what you put in your mouth.
It also represented power and prestige, lives lost and longing. Von Bremzen decided to write her own cookbook about the ethnic cuisines of the Soviet Union. It wasn't an easy sell.
Everyone said, Russia, are you kidding? Is it a book about bread lines?
But she eventually found a publisher. Pleas to the Table became an unexpected bestseller and won the James Beard Award. Her timing was interesting. The cookbook was published in 1990, the year the Soviet Union began to crumble.
And it was kind of a book about the culinary friendship, the whole multi-ethnic Soviet melting pot with all the republics. Well, all the republics wanted out. They were separating. So all my friends were going, oh, well, it should be a tear-off calendar, your book. So Uzbekistan going, Ukraine going.
Von Bremsen parlayed the success of Please to the Table into a career as a food writer and restaurant critic.
And here I was, traveling around the world, eating at places like El Bulli or Per Se, eating foie gras, whatnot. And that shadow of my former life and of my relationship to food would always be almost in every bite.
Anya von Bremsen decided to confront that shadow. Mastering the art of Soviet cooking isn't just her story. It's also the story of millions of ex-Soviets, people who remember the rapturous sensation of biting into an orange, which they could only get once a year. Anya von Bremsen isn't nostalgic for the USSR, but she does feel like her Soviet childhood was special.
Who else grew up singing odes to Lenin and wearing a young pioneer tie and putting so much kind of meaning and existential significance into everything that you ate?
She says it's surreal to come from a country and a civilization that no longer exists.
And now we're kind of looking at the ruins of it. It's like this incredible interior-exterior archaeological site that is part of our psyche.
Anya von Bremsen has retrieved from those ruins something so essential and obvious that it was hidden in plain sight. For The World, I'm Bridget McCarthy.
You can see photos from Anya von Bremsen's Soviet childhood. They're at theworld.org.